you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Hey folks, it's Lyle here. The briefest of brief messages before we get into the podcast. If you live in the Los Angeles area, I am doing a live Therapy Gecko podcast recording on May 2nd and May 3rd here in Los Angeles at the Lodge Room. Tickets are sold out for May 2nd, but there are still a few left for May 3rd. So if you live in Los Angeles and you want to come see me do this podcast in front of a live audience of people, then you can check the show notes for a link to the tickets. And if you don't live in Los Angeles, stay tuned because I'm coming to you at some point. And thank you for listening, and let's get into the podcast, baby.
We've been together for like a year now, and we were having sex in the beginning. And it's like died out. So I'm just confused, I guess.
Dick, why don't you like having sex?
I don't really know. It's not like I don't like to, sorry to cuss on the stream, to come, but it's just, I don't know. I don't see the point, I guess.
Interesting. So you don't see the point of coming. Hello?
Hello?
Hi, is this Dick and Jane?
It is.
It says here, Dick and Jane, you are 23 and 22. You're from Phoenix, and you're trying to figure out some bedroom problems. It says here that Dick is not a fan of having sex, and that he's open to Jane having sex with other people to satisfy her need. But Jane, it says here that you don't seem sure of whether or not you're comfortable doing that. Is that correct? What the call screener said?
Well, I've never been, like, I don't know. I've never been in this situation. So it's just very new. And I don't really even know how I feel about it.
Interesting. Let me talk to Dick first. Dick, why don't you like having sex?
I don't really know. It's not like I don't like to, sorry to cuss on the stream to come, but it's just, I don't know. I don't see the point, I guess. I don't know. It's just not in my, like, wants, if that makes any sense.
Interesting. So you don't see the point of coming?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, well, it's kind of like, I don't know, man. I'm happier drinking and, like, working. I know it's a weird thing to say, but yeah, I don't know. Sex isn't my thing.
It's just not in your wheelhouse. It's not of, you have no desire. Do you masturbate?
Every now and then, very rarely. I would say like once every couple of weeks.
Okay. If you see a person that you're attracted to on the street or on your computer or whatever, does that make you horny?
Yeah, I definitely get horny. It's not like I don't feel sexual desire. It's like I don't have the desire to fulfill the desires, if that makes any sense.
No, that actually makes a lot of sense. So Jane, are you there?
Yes, hello.
Okay, how do you feel about all of what Dick has expressed?
I guess it's a little confusing just because, well, me and Dick, like, we met in college and we were like friends with benefits with each other, but also like a lot of different people. And we were both having a lot of sex while we were just friends. And then we've been together for like a year now and we were having sex in the beginning and it's like died out. So I'm just confused, I guess.
Okay, so Dick was at one point quite sexually active, but it just fizzled out.
Yes.
Interesting. Dick, what made it fizzle out, do you think? Do you even have an answer to that question, or was it just a natural thing?
I actually do. I was just like, I don't know if it's like just written into my brain, but I just see sex as like the courting process. And then once you get somebody, then it's like the actual love stuff matters. But I feel like I know that's a dumb argument. I know no one else thinks like that. So it's like, hold on.
I don't think it's a dumb argument. It's just, there's no... It's not a thing of correct or incorrect. It's just how you look at it. So you're not wrong. But I guess now that you are in a relationship and you have found a sort of love, the sex part of that is just not important to you.
Well, and it's not that we don't have sex. I know she likes to have sex a lot, and I am like once a month, twice a month, that is perfectly fine by me, where I know she would like it at least multiple times a week.
So Jane.
Yes, sir.
Tell us what is your sort of sexual situation? Is would you consider sex to be very important to you?
I mean, since I started being sexual, like, in my life, I haven't really slowed down, I guess. But I've also, like, used sex for not healthy purposes, if that makes any sense.
What kind of not healthy purposes?
I had a lot of body issues in my life, and I was like, well, if I have sex with people, like, my body's fine. Like, it was, like, sure. Validation, you know?
Right. Mm-hmm.
So it's like, and I guess I still have body issues, so maybe that's why I feel that way. But I also just know, like, I am a very sexual person. And so it was just like, I don't know. I love Dick so much. So it's like, it was just off to me when, wait. Okay. Well, you know, Richard, but.
See, yeah, I was wondering when you said, like, you love Dick so much. I was genuinely, I know it's funny, but I was genuinely wondering, do you mean like you actually love Dick, or you're talking about your boyfriend?
Me, Dick, and Dick, but me, Dick, is what you meant.
But anyway, okay.
So all right, so you two are very much happy being with each other. Would you say that this
is one of?
Okay, great. So you would say that this is one of the really only sore sticking points?
Well, it's not like a conflict or anything. It's just more of like I know that she wants this thing, and for me, I do not want this thing very often. And it's more of just like it wouldn't piss me off at all if she was doing this for, you know, her thing. It just wouldn't, okay. You know?
All right, so now that we have the backgrounds, you have proposed the idea that Jane go out and have sex with other people. Jane, what is your thoughts on this idea?
I don't want to say that I like want to do it, but I'm open to the idea of doing it.
Hold on. When you say you don't want to say that you want to do it, do you mean you don't want to say it, or do you mean you genuinely don't want to?
It's not that I don't want to. I just don't know how to say. Like, I don't want to have sex with other people, but I want to have sex. It's conflicting. So, because I'm a very monogamous person, but, like, when I'm in a relationship, obviously, but that's just who I am. But I'm not closed off to the idea. I would just need more clarification on, like, the process and how this is supposed to go.
The process of how this is supposed to go. What do you, give me an example of, like, a process I don't know what you mean by when you say process.
Where do we start? How do I, scout someone out? Do we go scouting out together?
Listen, congratulations. You have the same exact problem of any other, single person who's trying to have sex. Does that track? I mean, your boyfriend has given you permission to do whatever you want. And then from there, the process, it's the fucking same as any other process of anyone else trying to get laid, which is like, whatever, man. Yeah. You go out to a bar, you go on Tinder, you join a soccer club, your boyfriend can give you permission within the bounds of your relationship to go have sex with other people, but he can't give you a guide on how to do it. He's not like he can't be some sort of pickup artist mentor for you.
I guess it's like, do you want to know details? I just don't know what you do and don't want to know.
And I feel this is, Lyle, what you were just saying. Like, it's just up to you. Like, I'm just literally throwing the ballpark out there for what you need. And I just, you make the shit. You make the rules.
Exactly. Look, because here's the thing. Getting laid can be hard. I think that might be one of the reasons why Dick doesn't want to have anything to do with it. So, I mean, listen, here's I feel like one of the sort of final pieces of the puzzle. Are you wondering if Dick wants to know if you go have sex with other people? Because that's another thing I've heard about, in some of these kind of relationship setups where it's like, okay, you can do everything, but I don't want to know about it. And then there's the version where it's like, hey, honey, go out on a night to the town, go out on your date, and then when you come home, we can talk all about it, and I'll listen with glee, I don't know what you guys are, though.
It comes down to, that's a good question. I think we got to talk about that, on our own, because I don't really know on that side. That's a good question. I don't know if I want to know or if I don't want to know. I feel like if there's a guy taking her out on a nice date, I don't see any problem with that, but if it's like, yeah, I'm going to the movie theater and get banged. Obviously,
that's different.
That's different.
But at the same time, the action that was just spoken about is like the whole point.
Yeah.
So
it's hard. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I don't know.
Well, listen. Here's the thing. I think regardless of what happens, it clearly sounds like you two have no problem communicating with each other, so I would just continue to do that.
I just think we wanted to hear just a third party. We just needed a third party in this to say something, pretty much.
We're a huge fan of your podcast.
Thank you, man.
So
I appreciate that. I feel like You sound like you were confused. You were like, I don't know what the process is or whatever. And it's like, well, you're not going to be given a process. You're just going to be given permission within the bounds of the relationship. And then also, I don't know. Sounds like maybe you want to get into deeper specifics of should we talk about it? If I'm going on a date if I'm texting some guy on Tinder, Does Dick want to be there? What should I say to him next? Type of shit. How involved does he want to be? I think that's sort of the next step in the conversation for you.
I agree. And yeah, this.
You guys just cut out just now, but is there anything in particular you guys want to say to the people of the computer before we go?
Sorry, could you say that again?
Is there anything you guys want to say before we go?
Nope.
No, we appreciate your help, man. Hope you have a great day.
Beautiful. Take care, guys.
All right.
Man, people are really chill these days. I like it. I fuck with those two. Those two are sick. I haven't read the chat, but dude, I posted this clip on Instagram a while ago from a polyamorous couple that called in, and there was just all these like nasty comments on it being like, oh, that guy's a cuck and whatever, I would never let my girlfriend do this, whatever. But I fuck with both of them. They both seemed like they had like a really healthy relationship with each other. And that guy Dick, I'm jealous of him. I wish I could fucking transcend my own desire to have sex. That would be incredible. I would get so much more done. I would be a happier person. Life would be great. Dick is chilling. He's not only transcended his desire to have sex, which by the way, almost makes him God. We were put on the earth to kind of fuck each other and repopulate and the biological drive, all that stuff. And Dick looked at that and he said, no, I am conscious. I am above the laws of my own body. What a G. What a G. And then not only that, he's secure enough in his relationship. He trusts his partner enough to be like, I don't give a fuck what you do. Just go fuck whoever you want, then come home and let's watch a movie or something. I like those guys. People are chill. There's another thing, too, is I feel like people who have... And you could tell on the phone, too, that he was like... He hadn't even came to terms with how he felt. Like, he kept being like, I know it's, like, wrong. Like he kept feeling like he was, like, doing something wrong by feeling the way he was feeling. Just because it's the way he's feeling is not probably reflected in a lot of other people he meets or sees or hears about or whatever. You could tell that he was weird in his mind. He didn't quite come to terms with how he was feeling. I think, and it possibly could have been because he was scared of whether or not his partner would like be cool with it. But it's kind of surprising, I think, the amount of people that are out there, if you find the right ones that kind of mesh with you, that will be cool with your weird thing. He found someone who's cool with his weird thing. I mean, that girl, Jane, she's with him trying to make it work. That's sick. I like those guys. I think they'll be fine. I would love to, if Dick is open to it, I would love to, if I got an Instagram ad from Dick and he was selling an ebook along with a course or something on how to transcend your own desire to have sex, I would absolutely buy that for $14.99. Obviously you can't choose these things about you. You know, we all know that. They're like whatever conversion therapies and stuff. That's no good. But if I could attend some kind of asexual conversion therapy, I'm there.
You can live out your MasterChef dreams when you find a professional on Angie to tackle your dream kitchen remodel. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Visit Angie.com. You can do this when you Angie that.
Hello?
Hello?
Jasmine, is that you?
Yeah, this is Jasmine.
How's your life going, Jasmine?
I'm fantastic. I'm a little nervous. Am I talking to Gek?
You are talking to the Gecko Boy.
My God! Hi, it's so nice to meet you.
Oh, it's nice to meet you as well. Would you consider this meeting, even though we're on the phone? I feel like this is like, you know, it's pretty good. We are definitely connected. I can hear you. You can hear me. But have we met?
Right.
I don't know.
I think at some level, it's more realistic this way than like walking around in the street. You know. I'm not in Los Angeles, so I feel like this is a good way. I consider this meeting. This is dope.
Well, Jasmine, it says here, you know, sometimes I don't like doing the it says here thing. What is it that you called in to talk about today, Jasmine?
Well, I called to share a little story about something that happened to me in, I think I was like eighth grade or like a freshman in high school, where I pooped my pants. Shit myself.
As a result of...
What'd you say?
Well, okay, real quick. It says here that you were trying to impress a boy when this happened.
Yeah, not with doing so. It just happened to be a factor. I don't think he was impressed. I don't know if he knows to this day, but, you know what?
Feel free if you want to start from the beginning of this.
Oh, perfect. Okay. Sorry. I think I'm anxious or excited. One of the two, but, sweet. Okay. So, I live over in the Midwest and there's a very big, kind of like, I don't know, like a, it's like a water park and like a ride kind of area, I guess, if you will, all in one. And I was going to church at the time and my church group decided to go there for like a little day trip in the summertime. And there was another church group that was kind of merging with us. And I thought that one of the boys from that other church group was really cute. And so I was really excited that he was going to be there. And we go to the water park section or whatever. And I'm very excited. I was kind of a little tomboy at that time. And so I just would kind of hang out with the boys. And there is this... taking time. There's this one water slide that just goes like straight down, you know, those guys.
Yeah. Oh,
and
yeah.
You know, I was so excited. I was like, oh, this is my chance to impress Josh or whatever. And so I went up with all the guys and we were all kind of going back and forth or whatever, like, oh my gosh, who's gonna go first? And so I was like, you know, fuck it, I'll do it. So I got ready. I went down the giant water slide, and when I'm like sitting back up, I feel a little sloshing in my one piece, and I'm a little confused. And so I don't really think much of it, though. I just kind of stand up, and the entire group is just walking to the next thing or whatever. But I'm trailing back, and I smell this god awful smell, and I'm really nervous because the guys are like, oh, like, come do this thing with us or whatever. And I'm like, you know, I'm going to go to the bathroom quick. And there's only public bathrooms there. Not like, you know, I guess like family ones or whatever that I could find at least. And so I went to the bathroom and I ran into a stall and like took my one piece off and just saw shit everywhere in my black swimsuit. And I got really nervous because I was like, oh my God, I have the entirety of the day. And so I like peek out of the stall really quickly to see if anybody's in there. And it looked like everyone had left. So I run out of the stall butt naked to the sink and I take off my swimsuit and I try to wash it in the sink with like soap and water. And I hear like a mother and a child come in. So I take it and then I run back into the stall and like try and just wipe everything up that I can. And I kind of just keep doing rounds back and forth to clean it.
Man, that sounds intensely stressful. I really, you kind of like put me there in that moment.
Did I?
Yeah, I know you did because I could smell it too. I was imagining what it would be like to be in that situation, you know, like, especially when you're like in ninth grade and there's just a lot of pressure to not have shit in your pants at most times. I mean, that was heroic of you to run out of the bathroom butt naked, back and forth. You know what? You know what I like about that story is that you experienced an extremely stressful situation, and you attacked it with a solution. You know, you didn't give up. I mean, yeah. realistically, you had no choice. You had no choice but to find a solution. It's an inspiring story, actually.
Right. I think this is my biggest example of perseverance. Like, you know how when you go to job interviews and they're like, what's one time that you showed this? I think this is a perfect example of one time when
tell,
I went,
have you ever know, told that story as an answer to that question?
I haven't. I've actually been terrified to share the story with anyone for years. There was one time I got really drunk with my friends, though, and I told them about it finally. And they're the only ones who, like, know about it. And I think I told my boyfriend maybe once. But, like, I have not shared it.
Really? Okay, so how do you feel having shared it on the computer?
You know, I feel comfortable with you. I'm going to be really honest. I think I listen to a lot of your stuff on Spotify and watch your streams when I can. And every time I hear like a poop story, I'm just like, fuck, I really got to call and share this one.
No, well, look, thank you for putting me, you know, it's funny because like if something like that happened to me now, actually stuff like that kind of does happen to me. I've clogged toilets at horrible times, situations, and I've had to deal with that. But I mean, especially at 15, that's quite the fight or flight situation to get in. So
yeah.
So props to you for.
I don't know what I would do now at 20. I have no idea.
Is there anything else that you want to say to the people at the computer before we go?
Thank you guys for listening, and chat's really funny. So I appreciate how cool you guys were about it. And hope you guys laughed as much as I did during this.
Beautiful. Thank you for calling, Jasmine.
Thank you. You're so lovely. Have a good night.
She's very kind. Yeah, I don't know what I would have done in that situation. I guess I probably would have... Now, did the stall have toilet paper in it? Because it's hard to get, like, water in there. Right? So you could probably just have, like, gotten naked in the stall and used toilet paper to wipe away the shit. That's what I would have done first, is I would have done the first little wipe through. And then I would have gone out and washed the suit. But, dude, I mean, in a public... restroom like that, especially at a water park, there's probably like 8 stalls. I mean, to find the opportunity, and then you have to like sort of look out and see if there's anybody there, and to find the opportunity where you are truly completely alone enough to wash that suit, complete that operation, that's a whole thing. I'm very impressed by that.
You can start your day off right when you find a professional on Angie to get your plumbing right first. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Visit Angie.com. You can do this when you Angie that.
Hello?
Hello?
Hi, is this San?
Yeah, it's Sam, but yeah, it's fine.
That's what I thought. I read San, and I was like, it's got to be Sam. Dude, the M and the N are way too close on the keyboard for it not to be Sam. What's going on? Sam, I'm not gonna blasphemize the computer and tell it that it's wrong. So I'm gonna just call you San, if that's okay.
Go for it.
What's going on with you, San?
Not much. Just got out of work. Pretty tired.
What do you do for work?
I'm an electrician.
You're a what?
Electrician.
You're an electrician. How many times have you electrocuted yourself?
Not gonna lie, I electrocuted myself like at least 3 times to wake myself up when I'm at work.
Hold on. You electrocuted yourself 3 times to wake yourself up.
Yeah, like I work at like 7 a.m. I have to wake up at 5:30 and then be at the job site at 7 a.m. So I'm still pretty tired. So I just like touch a little hot wire and I just like wake up like that. Instead of drinking like a Monster, like a Red Bull, I would wake up.
So you electrocute yourself on purpose to wake up?
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much.
And would you say it is more effective than an energy drink or a coffee?
Yeah, honestly.
What does the sensation of electrocuting yourself feel like?
Well, I play with 120 volts, so that's like a baby. Like that's baby compared to like, and like in the job site, that's like the baby's app. So it's pretty much nothing. It's just like a regular shot, like those gums. Remember, like those gums that people would trick you. This is like one of those.
Mm. Is this a common thing for electricians to do?
Not sure. I'm not asked my coworkers.
How do you think your coworkers would respond if you told them that you were intentionally shocking yourself to wake yourself up?
Honestly, I think they'll do the same thing because they're pretty tired as well.
So you think it would catch on?
Yeah, I think so.
Have you ever tried to entice one of your coworkers into shocking themselves by telling them that it gives you a burst of energy?
No. I have not.
Hmm. What does the actual process of shocking yourself look like?
So we have like a little pen. It's like a machine. Like it's called a pen tester or volt tester. And you turn it on and it like lights up green and you go to like a hot wire. You make sure like it's hot, like the black, obviously the black wire. If it's hot, it starts beeping the volt test, the pen tester. And then from there, you just take out the wire nut and just slightly touch it and then just let go. And then you'll get the shock.
Is this something that you would recommend to other people?
No.
Do you feel like you can do you feel like you can sense a notable difference in your day between a day where you do shock yourself and a day where you don't?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Because I shock myself sometimes when, like, I already, like, for example, Monday, your new podcast, like, was there. So I listened to it. And then from there, like, probably tomorrow, I may or may not shock myself to wake myself up because I have nothing else, like, no other podcast to, like, listen to. It's just, like, it's just yours, honestly.
So if I have a podcast that comes out, you listen to that instead of shocking yourself?
Yeah, Mondays and Wednesdays are when you drop like a new episode. And then from there, just like that's my start of my day, honestly. And then from there, like for example, tomorrow, like I said, it's no new episode. It's just like, hey, like what can I wake myself up with?
Have you tried switching to just coffee or energy drinks as opposed to shocking yourself?
I had no time for like to stop at a gas station and get like a energy drink or anything because I'm already running late.
I guess that makes sense because if you're already on the job working with wires, it's more convenient and sort of already on your way to just shock yourself instead of going to a convenience store and getting a coffee.
Yeah.
So it makes perfect sense.
Yeah, you can say that.
Sam, it says here that you have some baby mama drama. Do you want to tell us about that?
Do you want like the long version? I mean the long story, short story?
I'll take the short story.
Alright, so me and my baby mama, we were talking for a while, whatever. And then I guess this thing just stopped working and we broke up and now I met this new girl and then January came and boom, she told me she was pregnant. And I was like, oh, well, I guess I'm a dad now. And yeah, pretty much it. I told my current girl, she's supportive. And I told my parents, and they're supportive, somewhat supportive, not. And they, like, well, they don't think it's my kid. My girlfriend, my current girlfriend doesn't think it's my kid. And it's just like, just worried about, like, if it is my kid, like, I'm stepping up, whatever.
Okay. And so, so you were dating a girl. You broke up. She tells you that she has a kid and that it's yours. In the meantime, you started dating a new girl. You like the new girl, but you also want to be involved in the kid's life. Is that all correct?
Yeah. Yeah.
And then it says here that you're worried about how this ordeal will affect your new relationship.
Yeah.
In what way do you feel like being in this child's life will affect the relationship you have going with this new person?
My new girl, she's kind of a psycho, kind of like, oh, what we say here in Texas, oh, like where I'm from, like toxic people. And so, yeah, like she's just, my girl is just kind of crazy in a way.
Okay, so you and you consider your new girlfriend, how long have you been dating this girl for?
We did it about a year. We're about a year. We were dating before, and then from there we broke up. My bad. We broke up, so now we're like two months again, dating again.
All right. So let me get this straight. You're dating this new girl. You take a break. You date the girl who's your baby mama. You get her pregnant. You break up. You go back to dating the other girl.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay. Why do you consider this girl that you're dating now to be toxic?
The way she is, like, she wants me there, like, at her, she wants me there 24/7, and every time, like, at her house, like, 24/7, I'll be with her 24/7, if my friend texts me or something like that, she doesn't want me to hang out with my friends, and, like, just, in general, just like that, and, like, if I do go out with my friends, she gets butthurt, like, obviously sad, and, like, she just wants me there, like, with her 24/7.
Sam, I think you might be. I think you might be some sort of a masochist. Do you know what a masochist is?
No, I have not. No, I do not.
A masochist is somebody who enjoys. I think the sadist is the one who gives. I think a masochist is somebody who enjoys pain that they inflict upon themselves intentionally.
Oh, because it's a little shocking thing.
Well, the shocking thing, the fact that you're dating a girl who you openly are saying is toxic. Why do you continue to date this girl if you consider her to be toxic?
Because, I mean, like, at the end of the day, like, she makes me happy, like, no matter what. Like, yeah. At the end of the day, she makes me happy.
Okay. So, at the end of the day, she makes you happy. But is she stopping you from doing other things that make you happy?
Not really. Every Thursday I play football. Like, I play sports, so every Thursday I have a game. She goes with me and she, like, lets me play football, which is pretty good.
Okay. All right, so she's cool with you enjoying your hobbies. So how is she toxic then? If she seems like she's cool with letting you do things.
It's just that, like, privacy-wise, like, I want, like, my own personal time and, like, oh, like, because, like, I get out of work, like, super late, and I want my own time, and she, like, would bug me and, like, sometimes even check my phone or something, stuff like that, like, she will, like, get mad, like, if I don't post her, she gets mad, like, hey, why aren't you posting me, this and that.
Okay, so, let's get back to the kid.
Okay.
What do you think she will think of the kid?
In her mind right now, she's saying that it's not my kid. So right now we're just waiting for the kids to be born. And from there we'll go on. She says she'll support me, but I'm not sure if she is or she isn't.
Okay, so she thinks it's not your kid. and soon you're going to take, a paternity test, and you will find out for sure whether or not it's your kid.
Yeah, absolutely, I will.
Okay, and so assuming it is your kid, do you think that she will be supportive of you being in the kid's life?
I think she will, but like her trust is going to go like pretty high, like high alert, because my baby mama wants me to be like spend the day, like go to her house and see the kid for like at least 2 hours, and then go do whatever I want after work, and then from there, like if I want to see my, if like my kid wants to be with me, like if I want to see the kid to like my aunt or my parents' house, whatever, like my baby mama has to be with me like throughout the whole time, because the baby's still new, like newborn and whatnot.
Listen, Sam, I think you need to do a little bit of like, you know, look, you have good intentions. You want to be a good boyfriend and you want to be a good dad. I can tell that about you, because if you didn't, you wouldn't be calling, or you wouldn't even be thinking about these things. You would just be sort of fucking around. You want to be a good dad and you want to be a good boyfriend. But I think you got to kind of like step back for a second and examine what your priorities are, if that makes sense. And once you've done that, it would help you to just sort of stick by them and be like, hey, these are my non-negotiable priorities. And you can either be with me as I attend to them, or you cannot. Is that fair? What do you think about that?
Yeah, that sounds fair.
For you to be like, hey, listen, what's this girl's... give me a fake name for your baby mama. I'm gonna call her Victoria. It feels like an interesting, like a good name. But you gotta be like, hey Victoria, listen, if this child is mine, I want to be in this child's life. That means I'm gonna go to the soccer games. I'm gonna go to the school parent teacher events where me and the baby mama are gonna have to sit down, talk to the teacher. We're going to have to do certain things together because that's the mother of my child. She's going to have to be involved in my life to a certain extent. And I'm going to have to deal with that because I love my child. This is what's going to happen. I'm putting my foot down. I'm telling you this because it's important to me. Do with that information what you please. You have to kind of tell her that. If this is truly important to you.
Yeah, my soon-to-be born daughter is pretty important to me at the moment.
Okay, so I mean, what do you think about what I've just said to you about like sort of internally laying out your priorities and trying as hard as you can to stick by them?
Pretty much would like, yeah, that's what I want kind of to do. Like, talk to my girl and tell her like, hey, like yeah, like I said, I'm setting my priorities about my kid and. You said it perfectly.
Listen, what's your name? San? San, do me a favor. Sam, stop shocking yourself. Don't do it for me. Don't even do it for you. Do it for the child. Because she's gonna. Because here's the thing. I remember being a kid. When you're a kid, you just want to fuck around with everything. Exposed wires, barbed wires, spiky cactus shit. You just fuck around with stuff. You just touch everything. And your kid's going to see you fucking around with the wires, and she's going to want to fuck around with the wires. And the voltage that you use, it's not enough to kill you, but it's enough to kill her. Man, try like a monster or something. They're pretty good. There's lots of alternatives out there for you. All hope is not lost.
Okay. Yeah, I'll try a monster. I'll see about Red Bull, the watermelon flavor. You tried that one?
I have tried the Red Bull watermelon flavor. That could be their new slogan. Better than shocking yourself. Red Bull watermelon. You could be the guy. You could be the spokesperson. You could tell people your story. You used to have to shock yourself with wires, but now you get an even better buzz from Red Bull watermelon.
Okay. That's, hey, Red Bull, hit me up.
Is there anything else you want to say to the people at the computer before we go, Sam?
Nothing, just appreciate you, Greg. Thanks for the words. I'll keep it in my heart, keep it in my mind every day, and just keep doing what you're doing.
Thank you for calling, Sam.
Thank you for calling. Thank you.
See, I, you know, I feel for Sam because, like, I, I kind of believe, not that I have any beliefs about anything, but I believe you can kind of like do whatever you want until you have a kid. Like, if you want to, like, shock yourself or be in a shitty relationship, or run off to a foreign country, or go to jail. You can kind of just do anything with your life until you have a kid. Then you have this, like, inherent responsibility to a thing forever. That's why I don't want to have kids, so that I can just be shitty. I love being shitty. It's awesome. I love being shitty and having no responsibilities to anyone except for myself. It's great. I never want to give that up. Maybe in a decade, when I find myself cripplingly lonely as a result of my actions, I'll rethink that. But until then, I'm having an awesome time answering to absolutely no one. San, unfortunately, has values that are going to cripple him. He has a genuine desire to be a good father, which will cripple him in his decisions, in his paths in life. He can't really go by the whims of his. He's really enjoying. You could tell he's really enjoying living at the whim of his, as he calls her, toxic girlfriend. And like, he can totally do that and enjoy doing that. But now he has a kid, and the love that he has for his kid is gonna conflict with that, and he's got to deal with that. And I feel for him. I hope he's able to deal with it in a constructive way. Meanwhile, myself and the rest of us that don't have children will enjoy bathing in as much toxicity as we please. Good luck to Sam. San, whatever his name was. He had good intentions. I hope he follows them.
Hello.
Is this Dave from Tennessee?
Yes, this is Dave.
Dave?
Yes.
What's going on, Dave?
I'm chilling. Happy holidays. David.
Oh, happy holidays to you as well. Dave, it says here, you're 25 years old, you're from Tennessee. It says that you have a speech impediment, and you would like to discuss how you feel society views speech impediments. Is that accurate?
Yeah.
Okay, tell me more about that.
Well, you know, it's a little difficult, I think. Especially in the retail space. I get a lot of looks. But I try not to take it personally.
Do you work in retail?
I do. I won't disclose the company name just out of, I guess, either the respect or the fear that I'll get fired.
Okay.
But yeah, I work in retail.
Okay, so you work in retail, you get a lot of... Do you get a lot of people being? We'll get to the looks, but let's start at like sort of the most intense reactions. Do you get people who are hostile with you because of your speech impediment?
Not necessarily hostile, but there are some people that, I guess, they have never experienced a speech impediment. So they tend to think that something is wrong, I guess, when that's not the case at all. It's worse with a stress and at work. It's hard. But I'm just like, hey, no, nothing's wrong. I'm just trying to help you out there, fam. It's not a big deal.
So when you're stressed out, does the speech impediment kind of get worse or flare up more?
Yeah, it definitely gets worse. The S sound is already hard enough. I think it's worse with stress. Just my ability to communicate gets harder under stress.
So people, you said, don't have a lot of experience with people who have speech impediments, and you feel like that gives them a wrong idea. What would you like those people to know?
I think the first thing is, like, I'm not, and most people that have speech impediments are not, like, handicapped, I guess.
Sure.
In, like, a mental way.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I guess that's the first thing, but the second thing is also, like, it's not really that big of a deal to us, except for when it's made a big deal.
Interesting.
Then it becomes an issue.
So it's not a big deal to you, except when somebody else outside of your own sphere comes along and in some way, shape, or form makes it into a big deal.
Yes, accurate.
Do you have an example of that?
Yeah, so in high school, this was like 15 years ago, though. Well, not 15, like 10 years ago. Like my freshman high, freshman year, I had moved to a tinier part of Tennessee. And I think I was the only person in that school that had like a continuous speech impediment at that age. Like it had developed in my youth and never went away. I remember my first 2-3 weeks, there were just a number of classmates that thought that I was like having a stroke,
yeah,
or like a heart attack, and I was like, no, that's not the case at all. I mean, that's not the case at all.
And you know, I assume that after a while, you get annoyed with having to sort of be the spokesperson of yourself.
Yeah, because the majority of the people that are in my life, I think I'm the only one that's in their life that has a speech impediment. At my age, so it does become annoying, but I also try to keep in my mind that most people don't really know like the whole thing is behind a speech impediment. So I try not to judge, I guess.
Interesting. So I that's kind of cool to me that, you know, instead of responding with like a, an anger, you, it sounds like you almost kind of, you get it. You're like, oh, I understand why people think the things that they think about me and what's going on with me. So I guess, you know, you're like, yeah, I can't really blame them because I'm sure if I were them, I'd think the same things.
It's most definitely an odd experience, I guess. For people that don't have a speech impediment, but also the main worry that I've had, at least, is that people will assume that I'm unintelligent or. Or incapable of communicating right. In the way that needs to be in that specific situation. So it's made right. It's made the act of being you know the 20-year-old, I guess, experience. It's not one that I had a whole lot of access to until I had some friends that didn't really care that I had a speech impediment.
Right. Right, you almost have to like do a little bit of like extra proving yourself. I mean, you know, look, everybody feels some kind of weird pressure to prove their own, you know, intelligence and whatnot. And you've got a little bit of extra of that within you because you know you're walking around with all these people's, you know, expectations of, you know, what your level of intelligence is like because of. Of how you sound.
There definitely is more work that goes into it.
Listen, Dave, is there, you know, I know we sort of talked a lot about this particular question. Before we go, I kind of wanted to phrase it again so that you have the opportunity to, like, tell any wrap-up thoughts on it, but what would you like the people listening to this to know about people with speech impediments that you think would make you know their lives a little bit easier?
So more often than not well, we are intelligent, but we just need a little extra time to communicate what we want to communicate, I guess, is the main message that I want to get out there.
Is there anything else you want to say to the people at the computer before we go?
Happy holidays. Make use of it.
It is 420. Well. It is 4:20 at the time that this is being recorded. Are you high right now?
Not at the moment. I was earlier. I had to make dinner, so I had to chill out a minute before I did that.
That was the answer, because if you had said yes, I would have tracked the phone number, found your address, and called the police on you instantly. But luckily, I won't have to do that.
I love you. Thank you.
Thank you, Dave.
Bye, see you.
Crap, I should have asked him if getting high made his speech better or worse. I'll have to look that up. Well, I don't even know if it's like a look upable thing. I don't know if it's different for sort of each person, but who knows? You know, I go on Reddit a lot, and if you go on Reddit a lot, you know that weed is the cure for everything. Cancer, speech impediments, loneliness. Therapy Kit goes on the line, taking your phone calls every night. Therapy Kit goes doing it right, he's teaching you how to live your life. But he's not really an expert.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.